The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For more information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.
Hope you'll pray for me this afternoon and for each other. I'm going to at least turn and start with some thoughts. Brother David and I were talking the other day also, and he had noted some of the things I've been preaching on lately at home. I've been talking about the spiritual warfare that I think we're all facing every day. I think the problem is we don't recognize a lot of times that our battle, it's not flesh and blood. Yeah. Talking to somebody last night, and they were telling me how many rounds of ammo they had at their house and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, well, that's great. don't come shoot at me if you don't mind. I just rather you not do that. But our battle is not flesh and blood. You know that. You know, if I believe in our Second Amendment rights to bear arms and to protect ourselves and provide for our families as needed. But the daily battles that you and I are facing, it's not knives and guns and sledgehammers, you know, or whatever. It's our battle is a battle we're facing every day with Satan in the world. I'd echo Brother David about the vote on Monday. Be in prayer for things on Monday and call your senators, by the way. that doesn't hurt a bit, so let them know how you feel. But the battle that we're facing in everyday life, and it's everything. I think about, and I'm going to turn over here to the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians and look at the whole armor of God, but I want to try to link some things up that have been on my mind. I hope this will work, because part of the battle that I face every day, I don't know about you, part of the battle is when Satan gets in me. You know, it's I'm like the old pogo cartoon. You know, I found the enemy. It was us. You know, it was me. And so when I'm not careful, pride gets the best of me. Or in the church, you know, maybe I want recognition. I want somebody to recognize my name or whatever. You know, I'm not saying that's the way it should be. I'm saying when Satan gets after me, right. Why don't I have this or that? Yeah. Why isn't this happening a certain way? Maybe, you know, some of y'all say, well, that's a preacher problem. You know, maybe somebody didn't thank you enough for the food that was prepared. Or maybe somebody didn't thank you for the drive you made over from a distant church or whatever it might be. Or maybe your neighbor didn't recognize what you did and something for them or whatever, you know. Pride can get the best of us in a lot of different ways. Amen. And so in this sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians, he tells us, I'll just say this real quickly. You know, as we think about the book of Ephesians, laid out six chapters, first three very doctrinal, if you will, about what God has done for us. Then chapters 4 through 6 about what we need to be doing in response to that. That message in the first three chapters. Right. And if you put that in context, think about that's how Paul has laid out his letter to these folks. Then you get to the 10th verse of this 6th chapter, and he says, finally, my brethren. I mean, that ought to just hit you, you know, like a wedge between that. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And in the power of His might.
Amen.
See, that's where we need to be. When I'm struggling with me, and I'm struggling with what I see going on in this world, I'm telling you, I've gotten to the age of the point. I've seen enough things go down, and I see the things that they're trying to tell us about each other. I can go back to a day and time when I was young enough, growing up in Mississippi. When schools were segregated.
Oh, yeah.
I can remember it being in school when the integration occurred, and it was a good thing. It was good that the folks that live right down the road from me were going to school with me and getting the same opportunity for education that I... And now they're coming along and trying to redivide us
right.
Again.
That's
in so many ways by teaching hatred of one another in these, and that ought not to be.
Amen.
So when I'm having trouble with all of this stuff that I see going on in our nation, and as I told somebody the other day, no, there's not 100 different genders or whatever, 50 different genders. God says male and female created he them. And science will prove this through XY chromosomes, and you can go and solve this thing. But, the big problem with a lot of this stuff is the Bible tells us here that part of our armor is we need to be girt up with truth.
Right, that's right.
And if you don't know where the truth comes from, well, I'll tell you this afternoon, it comes from the Word of God.
Amen.
He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. His word is truth. And as the children of Israel were preparing to leave leaving Egypt, the Lord instructed them to have their loins girt up and have their staff in their hand, because they were going to be getting out of there that night.
That's right.
And I'll tell you, you can't be ready to run into battle. And that's the way I'm couching this. If you're not girt up with it, you got to have your britches on and ready to go.
That's right.
And so he tells us one of the first things we need to do is have our loins girt up with truth. You're not going to be able to face the wiles of Satan and the various stories they're telling, whether it's the evening news or the newspapers or the legislature or anybody else, if you don't know where the truth's at.
Amen. That's right.
And so get your mind in the book.
Amen.
The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, defensive weapon. We want to make it an offensive weapon all the time.
Yeah.
It's a defensive weapon for you and me, to protect you and me, to protect us. We're to have our heads covered with a helmet of salvation. Why? Because how you think is important.
Amen.
I tell folks the one of the greatest things that I can think about today is, knowing that I'm saved by the grace of God gives me great peace of mind and comfort. And in a time when my loved ones have been taken and death is taken them away, I can have a peace and a comfort in my mind and in my heart, because of what God has told me that is the truth.
Amen.
About eternity and these things. And so I can have a joy that takes up a lot of room just by taking it. But our problem is, as I heard another brother say not too long ago, he says, the problem is, look, I'll read the rest of this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God.
Right.
He didn't say put on part of it.
Right.
I need both my loins girt up with truth, and I need the breastplate of righteousness on to protect my heart. Out of the heart are the issues of life.
That's right.
As telling Brother Dale and them the other day, and I was over there, I said, that if you think about this, there was a woman that had an issue of blood. For a number of years, she came. All she wanted to do was just touch the hem of our Savior's garment, and when she did, virtue flowed out of him, and she was healed of that issue of blood. The Bible's in the same expression says, "Out of the heart are the issues of life."
Right.
Out of my heart flows love. Out of my heart flows anger and resentment. And pride and a desire to be recognized. There's nothing about all of that in God's word. I could turn over. I think about one of the greatest examples. If we turn back over to the Philippian letter real quickly in that second chapter, he made himself of no reputation. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He suffered to be made a little lower than the angels that he might suffer death for you and me. So he tells us here to put on the whole armor of God. He didn't say put on part of the armor today. The part I leave off is just the part that's going to get me in trouble. And probably the part that I will leave off is the shield of faith that I might quench the fiery darts of Satan that are coming at me. So he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand, be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Brother David was quoting this earlier. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this, the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Yes, there are real demons and Satan's out there working all the time, trying to bring sorrow and trouble to your life and tempt you to be prideful maybe in your life. Try to cause a sorrow to come into your life. And so he tells us here, wherefore? For we wrestle not. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And the very first thing he says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. You know, the Bible, as the brother quoted this morning, you know, continue in my word and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you continue in my word. So if we've got to stay in the word of God and continue reading it, to know that we're saved by grace, as somebody said this morning, outstanding, wonderful, gives you peace and comfort in your heart, but there's a whole lot more you need to know. About how to stand against the wiles of Satan and against the troubles of this world and against things that are be taught to you or told to you. And you need to know the Word of God answer, because that's the truth. Amen. You need to know what the Bible says about it. You know, people talk today some about having a biblical worldview.
Right.
I can look over things in the Ukraine and Russia. I don't know what all is going to happen, but I see some alliances that have come together in the past several years from China and Russia and Persia, otherwise called Iran.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder what all may be going on, and I'm going to pray for the peace and comfort of those things, but God's will be done.
Amen.
Because I don't know what all may come to pass.
That's right.
Just saying. Just saying. Don't know what may happen next.
Amen.
So anyway, be in prayer for those people.
Amen.
He says, wherefore? Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, protecting your heart, protecting the very thing that are the issues of life, having the righteousness of God shielding around you, and also working. You know, I know our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, but you know what? That's before God's throne.
Yeah.
He wants us to live as righteous, godly life as possible for you and I to live and not make excuses. Well, oh, my righteousness. No, if my salvation was dependent on my righteousness, my friends, I'd be sunk.
Right.
Okay? But God calls upon us to live godly, righteous, holy in this present life. And so we're to do these things and have on the breastplate of His righteousness, to protect our heart from all the troubles and all the arrows that would be thrown our way. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'll emphasize a couple of things. One, preparation.
Yeah.
Be prepared. Don't wait till you're in the battle to say, now what was that verse? I know I heard the preacher talk about that. They're telling me this. I remember somebody, but I guess I should have read that sometime. Maybe committed some of it to memory so that when the time of warfare comes, you're ready.
Amen.
Ready to stand.
Yeah.
I came along at a time that they ended the draft. I was classified 1A for Vietnam. Draft lottery number 37. They were taken up to 100 at that time. I was a goner, and they ended the draft, and I ended up not going. Didn't serve. Know a lot of people that did. You know, one of the things they make them do, they train.
That's train. Right.
They are physically, mentally, in every way prepared to go to battle.
Right.
You and I are in a battle every day, and we're not mentally ready, we're not physically ready, and we're certainly not spiritually ready. I'm just telling you, we are not ready. And he's ready to bring the battle every day.
That's right.
He's got the troops on the border, all the tanks, all the missiles. He's ready. He's ready to invade your territory and try to bring you down. And he'll use all types of things to do that. So have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith. Above all, finally, brethren, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Realize it's him, not you, and that's going to help you in these battles. But be prepared yourself. Also, there's something you've got to do to be prepared and ready. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of Satan. Some of these preachers, know this. I know they've heard this said before. You know, Jesus Christ was attacked by Satan at a time when he was physically at his weakest.
Right.
And tempted three times, and all three times he used the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Right.
And he quoted back to him out of one book of the Bible, Deuteronomy.
Yes.
and quenched every fiery dart.
That's right.
So just, if you know a few things well, you'll be better off than not knowing nothing at all.
Yeah.
So if you got to learn a few things well, get you some key scriptures and learn them so that you know how to stand. So he says, and finally, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always. Paul would say it over in the Philippian letter. He says, everything. By prayer and supplications, let your requests be made known. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go into a situation what you're not thinking, I better pray about that. I ought to be in prayer about it. How many times do you and I both dive off into things and then say, I probably should pray about that.
Mm-hmm.
Be in prayer, everything, by praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto. Be on watch, watching thereunto. Soldiers have a watch out.
That's right.
They got to look. They got somebody on watch all the time. What are they looking for? They're looking for the enemy.
Right.
They're looking for the invaders. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Turn with me. I'm going to go to 2 Kings chapter 5. And I'll try not to run too long.
We're here with you, brother.
Now Naaman, captain of the host of Syria, was a great man. with a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. And he was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. I want you to think about some of the people that are mentioned in here that, we're talking about recognition and pride, how things lift you. Some of the most important people in this chapter of the Bible, there's no name given.
That's right. Yeah.
No, no name mentioned. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid.
Yes.
And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is in the land of Israel, that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go. Get ready and go, Naaman. They said there's help over there for you. I think one of the points is, the little servant, the little maid? Who was she? But you know what? She had some good information she needed to pass on. So sometimes some of us may be waiting on, I'll share this when I get the right recognition in the right time. Centuries have passed by and nobody knows who this little maid was.
Right.
But she knew who the Lord was.
Right.
She knew who his man was.
Right.
And she had enough honor and respect for the ones that had led her away captive.
Right.
to say, you know what you need?
Yeah.
You need to go find my God down at the prophet's house.
Amen.
Would to God that if nobody ever knew my name,
yeah,
I could point somebody down to the prophet's house.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. And he departed and took him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, he rent his clothes and said, am I God? What is this guy doing coming to me? Well, a little bit of miscommunication there. It wasn't supposed to go to the king, supposed to go to the prophet, for one thing. But he says, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. He's thinking, he's trying to stir up trouble with this somehow. This is Israel and Syria. They're battling all the time. And so he said, and it was so that when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. And Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger to him. Some of this you gotta love, right? I mean, he's going, Naaman came over there, I think, in a sense, to see the show.
Right.
I mean, there's some great man. I need to come. So that, what did they? They went to the king. Well, the king says, it's not me. Yeah. And Elisha says, send him down to me. And he goes down there with all of his pomp, all of his chariots, all his men, all the gold, all the stuff that he had, and shows up and says, come to see this man, Elisha. Elijah sends a messenger out too. Doesn't go out to see him. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times and thy flesh shall come again to thee and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth. First of all, he says, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God. I thought he'd come out and call lightning down from heaven or something. I thought for sure he would come out and fire would rain down. It would lap up the sacrifice or something like that. He was looking for something like what had happened in the days of Elijah, maybe. And he says, and he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. And he says, are not Abana and Farfar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? And so he turned and went away in rage. And his servant, no name.
That's right.
His servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again unto him like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Two key people in this thing, a little maid that had a message that she shared with someone who shared it with Naaman, and the servants who had to actually rebuke their master and say, if they had asked you to do something great. I remember a time when I had joined the church when I was about 16, 15 or 16, and then later moved to Alabama, moved my membership, joined again over there. And at that point in time, churches back in those, I know y'all find this shocking. Some churches weren't in fellowship with each other. So they asked me, would I be baptized? They required me to be baptized again. And I thought on it and I said, is it a great thing?
Right. Thank you.
Is it a great thing that they asked me to do this again? If they had asked me to walk down the aisle on my hands and do cartwheels, I'd have tried it. Because I knew that's where I needed to be.
Right.
And so a lot of times when you're making excuses for why you haven't gotten up and served God, he'd asked you to do some great thing. All he asked you to do was go down and dip into Jordan 7 times, Master. If he'd asked you to do something great, would you not have done it? And he went and he dipped himself and he was made clean. And he returned to the man of God. He and all his company came and stood before him. And now I know, he said, and behold, and now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. And now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Let me give you something in return for this, some of this gold and silver that I... And he said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, and he refused. And Naaman said, there shall not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant Naaman says, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant, talking about himself, 2 mules, burden of earth, for thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offerings nor sacrifice to other gods, but unto the Lord. He wanted some dirt from Israel to take back home so he could sacrifice on God's dirt. He wanted God's dirt to build him an altar on and go back and make his offering. And so after he got his dirt, he's headed home. Now we have a servant whose name is named Gehazi.
Yeah.
Oh, he had the idea that surely he needed to run down Naaman and get some of that gold and silver. And so he felt so proud of himself. Naaman was glad to give it to him. And Gehazi got the gold and the silver, carried it back to Elisha and says, look what I've got. He said, told you, I didn't want any of that. Mm-hmm. He said, but I tell you what you're going to have now. You're going to have leprosy from now on because you went and took something that I said I didn't need. The one man named Gehazi. Sometimes having name recognition is not as big a deal as we think it is. You know? I think I'd rather be the little maid.
Yes.
Or the servants,
right.
Who are never named, who are lost to history.
Absolutely.
Yeah. History will never know who they were, but they played a great role in an important place in Scripture. Let us be that humble in our lives, that it doesn't matter if anybody ever knows who we are or where we serve or who we've served, as long as God knows. May God bless you.
Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For further information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.